I crossed a an age barrier. I won't say here, but my kids have told me my memory has gone right along with it. So and my wife too. So I guess it's unanimous. So, well, it's so great to be here with you guys here in Conrad. I'm from Great Falls. My name's Robbie Robertson. Dave and I have been fellow pastors and friends for many years, and actually Kevin and Jennifer, who they're honoring today, and everything that's going on there in Libby. And it's so great that Dave and Cherry were able to get away in order to honor them and honor that church. You know, it's cool because we're kind of like, well, not kind of like, we are. We're a family here in Montana within the Assemblies of God Fellowship that all of us our pastors in, and so it's just amazing to see the friendships, the lifelong friendships that so many of us have, and sometimes we are in different parts of the state at times. I remember when Kevin, the pastor that Dave is there honoring today, was a youth pastor in Cut Bank, you know, which has been way longer ago than I want to admit, so, but, and I was a youth pastor in Great Falls, and so just a wonderful family here in Montana. I think that's one of the things my family loves so much about Montana. I am an import. Don't hold that against me. However, I have lived in Montana now far longer than any other place. And we just love it. And my kids are like, Dad, some of them went away to college, and they're like, Dad, I think I'm going to move back. And so And one of those went to North Dakota. So, I mean, you know, it was like, okay. And the other one was in Texas. And he's like, you know, there's some fun things down here, but I'm a Montana kid. And I said, well, amen to that, because we don't mind having grandkids close. So, you know, so great to be with you guys this morning. And when Pastor David talked to me about coming and sharing with you guys, I've actually been here before to share like a missions window, because I work for a ministry called Promise 686, which you guys are one of our shining churches. I talk about you guys. You don't know this, but I brag about you guys all the time. So the AG Church and the Baptist Church here in town, Kobe Bennett's church, you guys are such a great example of what the body of Christ can do when it decides to take up what's in Scripture and to be the hands and feet of Christ. And some of you may not even know this, but the things that you guys have done in building relationship with the local Child Protective Services office here in town with Maureen and her team there has been amazing. And it's only growing. You guys are ministering to so many foster families as well as kids that are in really rough situations that are either in danger of being removed from homes or have already been removed from their homes and just need hope. And, you know, we all know that Christ is the only hope for broken homes and the only hope for broken lives. And the cool thing is that he made this thing called the church, which is imperfect, as we all know, but he made this thing called the church to be his hands and feet. The way that he shares hope with the world is through the local church. And I just want to thank you guys for what you're doing in this community and all throughout, actually, Ponderay County. And like I said, some of you guys probably don't even know all the things that are happening. But if you want to know more about it, you can come talk to me afterwards. I'd love to share with you all the stuff that you guys have been doing that have been helping vulnerable kids and families in your community. So I just want to say that real quick. That was my job spiel there. So I'm not actually here for that today, but I did want to share with you guys. I have such a warm place in my heart when I talk about Conrad, because the two churches here in Conrad are doing such an amazing job, and I get to brag about you guys all over the state. So since I recruit for the whole state, so kudos to you guys. Well, this morning, I want to talk to you guys about identity. I find more and more as I speak and share different things, whether it would be filling in the pulpit at my home church in Great Falls or other places. And part of it ties in with the fact that the job I work in is really talking to churches about helping kids who have completely lost their identity because they're kids without a home, right? Kids who are fatherless, kids who have been removed from what they knew was their identity in their home and now have been removed. And in truth, really, the entire Bible is really about God's people recognizing their identity versus choosing an identity that isn't really them. Choosing the world over what God made them to be. And so identity is something all throughout Scripture. This morning, I'm going to read a small portion out of Judges chapter 2. You guys can turn there if you want. And I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to share the context of what it's talking about, and then share how that speaks to us today. So Judges chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, it says this. Now the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you into the land that I swore to give your fathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall break down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. What is this that you've done? So now I say, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall become thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare to you. As soon as the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the people of Israel, the people lifted up their voices and wept. And they called the place, the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there to the Lord. When Joshua dismissed the people of Israel went each to his inheritance to take possession of the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works that the Lord had done for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110 years. And they buried him within the boundaries of his inheritance to Timnah-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gash. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak truth, and you speak hope, and you speak your will through your word. And I pray this morning that we would find those as we look to your word for answers, as we look to your word for truth and for hope. And guide us today, and may hearts and minds be softened by your spirit. We pray this in your precious name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Well, I know this is not really a, go get them exciting passage here. I apologize about that. It's not really super encouraging, but I think it's really important for us as the church, the modern day American church, that we talk about identity. Because just like one of the kids down in Hot Springs, Arkansas, which is part of our Assemblies of God, actually a place called Hillcrest down there. He walked up to one of the, they house kids that have blown out of, on average, 31 placements. Like, they went into 31 homes, and the homes said, you have to take them back. I mean, these are kids that, at that point, are intentionally blowing themselves out of placements, because they just refuse to go anywhere. And so they have a home down there called Hillcrest. It's actually run for 80 years. Originally, it was an orphanage. Of course, we don't have orphanages like that anymore. But he walked up to the coordinator there and he said, "Hey, Nate," guy's name is Nate. He said, "Hey, Nate," he said, I just got a brand new tattoo." And of course, Nate was like, "Oh man, what just happened? Like, you know, like what's going on here?" And he's a teenager. He said, "Yeah, I got a tattoo. I got my dad's name tattooed on my arm." And he pointed at his arm and there was nothing there. He goes, "Ha ha, quite the joke, huh?" There are so many people in our culture who they don't have an identity. They don't even know who their dad is. They don't even know where they come from. And oftentimes, I think all of us as the church, we forget our identity. We forget who God made us to be. And when we forget our identity, well, it leads to some really significant things, whether that be me forgetting my identity or the church forgetting its identity. So the passage I just read to you is out of Judges. And so I'll just give you a little bit of context, a little bit of history. So obviously in the book of Exodus, that's the story of Moses taking God's people, Israel, after almost 400 years of slavery in Egypt, taking them out. And now they're heading to the promised land. It's taken them 40 years to get there, right? Which actually, if you read, it's actually a 12-day walk. So, the 40 years had nothing to do with how long it took them to get there, had to do with their hearts and God saying, "Yeah, you're not ready to go in." 40 years is a long time to be wandering. And finally, they were allowed to go in, and where they went in was this place called Gilgal. And as they crossed the Jordan into the promised land, God actually parted the waters just like he had done at the Red Sea as the Ark of the Covenant was taken across the Jordan. And on the other side, you've probably heard this, they took 12 stones that represent the 12 tribes of Israel, and they set those stones up on the far bank of the river as a marker, a demarcation spot there as to where God, this is where God brought us finally into the promised land we've been promised for so long. And that place was called Gilgal. And at that time, the angel of the Lord came and spoke to God's people and said, "Now I want you to go into the promised land. Now that you've crossed over the Jordan, you're to go in, you're to take the land, you're to tear down all the enemy's idols and all the false gods, and you're to conquer the land and take it for God." And so they proceeded to go in and do just that. Now, we know, we've read the book. No, they didn't go in and do that. They did a little bit of that, but they also went ahead and compromised and let false gods exist and all this kind of stuff. And so now, all this time later, because Joshua led them in, and now this is right before Joshua dies. He's 110 here. The angel of the Lord shows up again and says, I "What did I tell you to do? I told you to come in here and to take over. I told you to come in and conquer. You forgot who you were meant to be." And in fact, at the beginning of this verse, it says, "Angel of the Lord." Sometimes there's words and little phrases that I think we just skip over. I will tell you, for years, I grew up in the church as a preacher's kid, and for years I read this passage and didn't even think about the part that says, "And the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to this place being called Bakkum." And to skip over that is to skip the whole point of this passage. Gilgal is the last time he talked to them, which was years before when they had crossed over the Jordan. So it's not like the angel of the Lord just said, "Oh, hey, I'm here in Gilgal and I'm coming over here to Bakkum." I mean, why did the verse say that he came from Gilgal? What the scripture was saying is that the angel of the Lord, who years ago was in Gilgal and spoke to them on what they were to do, now was appearing to them in Bakkum. It says he went from Gilgal to Bakkum. Gilgal was this incredible celebration of the promised land. The actual name of it it represents like a wheel, that the name Gilgal is like a wheel. Like the couple different pieces to that are that Egypt's slavery has now been rolled away, and there's all kinds of things behind that name with Gilgal. It's this place of like victory. And it says, and then he met them in this place called Bochim. Well, it wasn't actually called Bochim until after this incident. And he appears to them and says, what have you done? I gave you clear orders as to what you were to do. And you haven't. And now all those false gods and idols and all those neighboring people who believe beliefs and who have now basically helped cause you to compromise your beliefs are now going to be a thorn in your side going forward. And the reason they call it Bochim is because Bochim means weepers or the place of weeping. And that's why it was called that, because he was calling them out and saying, I gave you all this opportunity to go in and do what I called you to do, to be who you were made to be. And yet you failed. And so now there's consequences. And so the people wept. You see, they failed to remember who they were. They failed to act on who they were. No, I'm not here to try to give you a nice depressing message. But I am here to tell you that as the American church, we have the opportunity, because later on Israel had the opportunity, although their enemies were a thorn in their side and they had compromised. And even at the very end of the scripture I just referenced, it said what? It says, and there grew up a generation that didn't even know about what God had done. Anybody here ever feel like maybe some of the generations that are growing up now have completely forgotten who God is or what he's done for us as his people? What he's done for us, and I don't want to get political, but here in America, what he's done for us in our own individual lives. We resonate when we read that scripture, don't we? Because it feels like my kids and my grandkids, like, man, I'm so desperate for them to know how awesome God is. But who's going to be tasked with that? Me. Because the only way they know is if I tell them. The only way that they know is if I show them. And so I believe God is, we're at this inflection point, this pivot point here in the American church. Are we going to just accept the fact that we're just going to die out and our kids aren't even going to know who God is and what he's done? Or are we going to pick up the mantle and say, no, we're going to remind ourselves and tell our children and our grandchildren about how awesome and amazing God is, and we're going to show them what God can do. I feel that conviction all the time. Especially now as I have grandkids popping up. You know what I worry about the most? Did I actually teach my kids well enough to where they're going to actually pass God on to my grandkids? That's something I worry about. Why? Because I know that that's way more important than the fact that my grandkids root for the same sports team I root for. Although that is important as well. But I want them to know the God I serve, and have I taught their parents well enough about them? Have I shown their parents well enough that it will be passed on to their generation? Now understand, God's people have always struggled with remembering who we are. We've always struggled with the memory thing. It was kind of funny because you were up here and saying your memory is starting to go. I was like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about today. So my memory, I've crossed over the 5-0, and I've tried telling my wife, you know, sweetie, you're not past 50 yet. You just, I've tried to use this as an excuse for forgetting things. It doesn't work. Yeah, so not at all. But at least I have a little more excuse now, right? Or supposedly. But we have a tough time remembering things. I mean, everything from, there's the classic tie the string around the finger and like, wait, what was that string for? Like, trying to remember it. One of the gals in our office, she actually will literally write notes on her hand in the moment that she says or we say something, because she's like, by the time I get over to my desk, I'm going to forget about it. So she's got, it's really funny. She's got like notes all over her hand. And then one day she came up and she went, I washed my hands. I'm in trouble. It was so funny. I'm like, you're not even 30 yet. Come on, man. This is. But this idea that we all struggle with remembering. We all struggle with like, oh, yeah, like, oh, I forgot. Oh, I totally blanked on that. Literally, my calendar on my phone, if I don't punch it into my calendar, it's probably not going to exist in the next 5 minutes. So we all can relate to the fact that oftentimes we struggle with memory and remembering things. And God's people have always struggled with this. So why is this important? Well, our identity is so important. Remembering who we are is so important. Our identity is what controls our decisions. Our identity is what controls our passions and our priorities. And ultimately, our identity is what controls how I live my life each and every day. I mean, think about it. The truths that you stand on, your convictions that you stand on, they're not just a whim, they're founded in your identity, right? And when we lose our identity, what happens? Well, we actually become a slave to the world around us. You don't believe me? Let's go back and let's talk about Israel again. So Israel, let's back up 400 plus years from this moment where the angel of the Lord is like, you forgot who you are again. Back when a young man named Joseph, who was the son of Jacob, when he obviously held a favored place in his father's eyes, and his brothers hated him for it. So what did they do? Well, some of them wanted to kill him, and one of them spoke up and said, no, 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 we can't do that. That's shedding our own brother's blood, but we can sell him into slavery. Like, that's a whole lot better, right? And so that's what they did. And so Joseph ended up getting sold into slavery. We know the story about Potiphar's wife in house of Potiphar. God kept giving Joseph favor and favor and favor, even in these horrible situations, to where Joseph somehow ends up the number two most powerful person in all of Egypt, the most powerful kingdom probably in the world at that time. So here he is, number two, because of God's favor, and also because Joseph never forgot who he was. He refused to worship the gods of Egypt. He refused to do anything except for what God was telling him to do, and he listened when God helped him to decipher dreams. So Joseph is the reason that God's favor was able to put him in that place. But his brother still sold him into slavery. And God used that, it says later on in Scripture, to actually help save all of Israel because the great famine was coming. And of course, because Joseph was there, his entire family and clan, his father and all his brothers and all their families were saved in Egypt. However, there was still a consequence for them selling their brother into slavery. You see, God could have saved Israel a ton of other ways from that famine, but he chose to do it this way. Why? Because the brothers chose evil, and God, he turned that evil into something good, but there was still a consequence because now they're in Egypt, and that's where they're being saved, and that's where they end up building a home. And for almost 400 years, that is where they now live, in a land that is not a land that serves the one true God, but instead serves many gods. So when Exodus happens 400 years later and the people are being pulled out of slavery, you'll notice that Israel was put into slavery, a consequence from what had happened to them, right? Or what they had done to their brother. Now God's saving them out of slavery. All of a sudden, God has to remind them who he is, because they basically have lived for 400 years in a world with tons of different gods, Egyptian gods. And so the plagues had really nothing to do with trying to convince Pharaoh to let them go. God could have done that like that. But instead, it was to remind the Israelites who he was again. And he created a meal to help them remember, called the Passover. Fast forward a long time. I don't have the number off the top of my head, but a long time later, when Jesus shows up, and what does Jesus do? He knows we forget, so he creates a meal about the sacrifice he's about to make on the cross on the Passover to remind us. So communion is a way, once again, that God is helping us to remember, because we forget. We forget who we are. When we forget who we are, we forget our purpose. Remember I said identity controls our passions, our purpose. It controls what we do in our daily lives. And here, now in Bochum, Israel's being reminded again, you forgot again. Now, the great thing is, God is a God of mercy as well as a God of justice. Amen? And so God has had mercy on his people over and over again. And so this is right at the beginning of what? The book of Judges. Once again, we see, but God had mercy on them and saved them, sent a judge along to help save them from their enemies. Then they forgot about God again. And they said, oh, we're sorry, God, begged on their knees. So God sent another judge to save them from their enemies. Then they forgot God again. Yeah, see, you see the pattern here, right? Over and over again. And we do the same thing. How many of you guys have ever been like, God, if you just get me out of this situation, I will serve you all my days. And we're saved out of that situation. And we're good for like 6 months, maybe a year, something like that. And then all of a sudden, we start to trail off and we forget who our God is again. I've done this way too much in my own life. We do this. Do you know what makes a hero? It's interesting. We talk about heroes all the time, whether it be, you know, superheroes on a movie or in, you know, like comics, or whether it be heroes that we have that were war fighters, you know, World War II, those kinds of things. I have a great uncle, my grandma's brother, who was a triple ace in World War II and stuff. I mean, he's just got this incredible story. And, you know, there's one time when it was him and three other planes in his P-51. And there's 40 German planes that are coming in there about to attack the bomber group that he's trying to protect. And he's not met up with the other fighters yet, but they have a chance to surprise these 40 enemy planes. There's only four of them, though. Before they get to the bomber group. And so he makes the decision as the person who was over, he's the squad leader, excuse me. And so at that time, he makes the decision, well, we're going to go ahead and attack preemptively. And they end up, like, causing them to run. Their four planes caused the rest of the ones that were left to run. He shot down five planes in that one encounter. And it's like, whoa, he's a hero. That's amazing. When in truth, Sam Brown was his name, and Sam was just remembering who he was, what he was in the air for. He wasn't up there for joyride. He wasn't up there because, you know, wings look really cool on the uniform. No, he was there to do a job. And in that moment, he remembered who he was. And think about heroes all throughout history. They're just simply people who all of a sudden go, wait, I remember who I am. I have a purpose. And so they move forward to that purpose. You see, the difference between somebody who's lost and somebody who's a hero is simply somebody who remembers who they are and why they're there. And so us as a church, we're in that same situation, right? Israel did amazing things. God's people did amazing things when they remembered who they were. The Battle of Jericho was amazing, right? I mean, even though it seems like, well, they didn't do much, but they did. They were obedient to march around that city seven times, right? One time, every day for 7 days, and the last day, seven times, and to shout at a wall. Why are you doing this? Because they knew who they were and that God told them to do it. And because at that moment, they understood that if God told us to do it, there's a reason for it. And that day, what incredible victory. But other places, that's not the case. Why? Because they didn't go forward with that understanding of who they were. They kept forgetting over and over. And so we forget. And when we lose our identity, like I said, we become a slave to the things around us. The church itself, I mean, once again, I don't want to go political or anything, but think about some of the different churches in our culture that have chosen to allow the world to change their beliefs rather than them standing on their beliefs to say the world needs to change, right? What happens when we lose our identity? We allow everything on the outside to enslave us and change us. So God made ways for us to remember things. We talked about Passover. We talked about communion. The angel of the Lord here was trying to help Israel remember who they are because they lost their purpose. And of course, it says that over the next few generations, they continued to lose that purpose. But there were moments where they remembered. And ultimately, we see the church of today, even though it doesn't feel powerful here in the United States, I can tell you worldwide, Christ's church is booming. I don't even know how to put it properly. Christ's church is on fire around the world. And as much as it doesn't feel that way here in the United States at times, you go and you look at the church in the places where it's most persecuted. The Iranian Christian church is spreading like wildfire. In China, it's spreading like wildfire. Places where there's much more oppression and persecution than we could even possibly understand here, it's spreading like wildfire. Why? Because Christ is in it. They're remembering who they are. No matter what the outside influences do to say, you're not allowed to do that. They're like, no, my authority doesn't come from you. My authority comes from Christ and Christ alone. And so this stuff is happening. It's powerful. And us as the American church, we have the opportunity to step into that as well. When we know who we are, when we remember who we are, fulfilling our purpose is inevitable. It's inevitable. When I remember, hey, I'm a father and a husband, but first and foremost, I'm God's kid. I'm called to ministry. When I remember all those things, I'm like, well, it's inevitable. What am I going to do today? Well, I'm going to represent God to my children. I'm going to represent God to my wife. I'm going to represent God to those he's called me to minister to. Because in that moment, when I remember who I am, doing what God has created me for is inevitable. One of my favorite things that I get to do is I work with fathers. my wife is the director of ECHOES, the pregnancy center in Great Falls. And I run our fatherhood program. We've just been running it for a little over a year and a half now. And it's called Real Dads. And what's amazing is that we started this, trying to help, young men and sometimes not so young men who are coming in and they have, now are going to be fathers. And a lot of times, deer in the headlights, eyeballs and stuff like that, And we want to help not just moms and babies, but we want to help dads as well return dignity back to fatherhood and to manhood. And so that's a big part of that. If you guys are interested in any of that, you can talk to me about that afterwards too. But anyways, one of my incredible privileges has been working with these young men, and the state and the courts have been sending us men to take parenting classes because there's nothing else hardly anything in the state, but definitely nothing in the surrounding counties that really it's classes for men. And so they've been sending us men. And that's been fascinating. And one of the young gentlemen I ran into, it's amazing because these guys will walk through my door and we'll sit down and I typically do kind of an assessment thing at the beginning. I'm like, hey, just tell me your story. I just want to know your story so I know how I can help you out. We've got mentoring programs. We've got fatherhood classes. We got a faith and fatherhood group that meets once a month. And so we've got a few different things. I just want to know how to best help you out. And I remember this one gentleman, he comes and he sits down and he's got like some face tattoos and stuff. And he's got like the teardrop things and stuff like that. Now, I don't know. Supposedly that means something really crazy in jail, that kind of stuff. However, these days I think people just do that, but I don't know. But he does seem like maybe he's a little bit more hardened than most of the guys walking into my office. And sure enough, he says, I just married my wife. She had two elementary kids of her own, and we're about to have our first one together. And I'm like, okay. And he said, yeah, I'm 42. I'm like, oh, okay. Kind of, yeah, starting family late in life. He's like, oh, no, I got three other kids. He said, but I raised them all over the phone from jail in Sacramento, California. He said, I was in the gangs and I ran drugs and I got caught. And so I spent years in prison in Sacramento. And so then I was like, oh, so the tattoos are, legitimate. Okay. So that kind of stuff. But and then he goes, but I realized I didn't want to raise any more kids from jail. I realized I wanted to be someone different. And he said, so I took a job, and I decided I'm going to get as far away as I think I can. He's like, so I came to Montana. And I got a job at General Mills, the grain elevators and stuff. And so I was like, and so we were just talking. And this guy had determined, I don't like my identity, and I want to change my identity. I want to change who I am, and I want to do things differently. You see, when he began to recognize the identity that he desired to be, the identity that he really had, which was, I want to be a dad. I want to be a husband. I want to be who I think I should be. Everything changed in the decisions he began to make. Why? Because he began to move in his identity. So when we understand it, it's inevitable. It's inevitable. The worship team could come up. It's time to be great. So my question for you is, what's your identity? Who's God made you to be? Who's God made this church to be? When I was a kid, it's a long time ago, I remember Saturday morning cartoons, because they used to only be on Saturday mornings, right? And Saturday morning cartoons, my favorite one was G.I. Joe. And and there was always this phrase that showed up on the cartoon that was, knowing is half the battle. G.I. Joe. Yeah, so that part. Sorry, I can't do it without saying the G.I. Joe part. But knowing is half the battle. I remember that so much. Knowing is half the battle. G.I. Joe. It's so true. Knowing who you are is half the battle. Knowing who God made you and the purpose he made you for is half the battle. But here's the cool part. That's almost all that we're required to do is just remember who we are. There's one more step after that, and that's simply taking the first step in that direction once we know who we are. Just the first step. Do you know why I say that? Because we have a God who's so amazing that he brings the rest of it to us when we make the decision to remember who we are and to take that first step in that direction. I am telling you, I guarantee you, God will blow you away. Because the moment you take a step in the direction that God has created you to be, he brings it to you. You know how I know this? Sorry, I'm a crier, just so you know. Real men cry, it's okay. Because I've been the guy who forgot. I've been the guy who lost everything. Lost his marriage, lost his career, lost his family. I've been the guy from addiction and a bunch of other stuff I won't go into right now. Not that I'm unwilling to, I just don't have time. But I've been that guy who had to come to understanding after losing everything that there's one thing I had left. I remember curled up in a little apartment. I call it a crack apartment because I'm sure there was plenty sold out of there at some point. One of these old busted up apartments down on Central in Great Falls. Apartments that are above the shops down there. And they're old apartments. You know, there used to be hotels and all kinds of stuff there. And I mean, it had an old metal claw tub in there. I mean, it was like, it was awful. I had to bring a futon in to even have something to sleep on. I mean, here I am. It was 400 square feet, this little apartment. And I was a single dad of four kids. And half the time they'd spend with their mom and half the time they would come to my place. And all I had was shame. Because working two part-time minimum wage jobs. I'd been successful before, but I forgot who I was. Curled up on the floor, just bawling, saying, God, I don't know how I got here. I know this isn't who you need me to be. Help me to find that again. And so he did. And over a period of time, I reconnected with who I am and who he's made me to be. Number one is to be his kid, to become a man of God so I could be a godly father. And maybe someday I could be a godly husband as well. And I'll tell you guys, once I came to that realization of who I was again, literally, all I had to do was just take that first little step. And the things God began to do in my life, the things he began to open up, the people he began to send to me, because he realized, okay, Robbie, you've remembered. So now let me, your heavenly Father, help you. And I can't tell you the blessings that have come my way. That doesn't mean they weren't struggle. It doesn't mean life was easy from that point on. I'm just saying I had a purpose from that point on. And no matter how difficult things still were, I knew who I was and I knew where I was going. And the life I have now is so incredibly different. But this isn't bragging on me, because once again, I didn't do much. I just remembered who I was and I took one small step. So this isn't about me. This is about what our God does when we're willing to say, okay, who are we at this church? Okay, we've recognized who we are. We're going to take one small step. Guys, there's a reason why I brag on you guys all over the state. Because you guys have remembered that James chapter 1 is a real scripture that tells us as the church what to do. True religion is that which pushes away the things of this world and takes up the heart of the orphan and the widow. You guys, like so many other churches, haven't been able to do. You're taking up the heart of the orphan. I'm seeing that you guys are becoming the hands and feet of Christ. And you're making a difference because you've remembered who you are, who you're supposed to be. And so that's my call to you guys today as individuals. Maybe you're like me. You're at the lowest of the low right now. Maybe you've made some stupid decisions. Because trust me, I didn't get to that place because what other people did to me. I did it because I did it to myself. But sometimes we're in a bad place because of things people did to us as well. But it doesn't matter if we're responding to because we have done wrong or we have been wronged or we have been successful or we've been failures. We can respond to all those things, but guess what? It's really all the same response. It's humbling ourselves enough to remember who we are. And so wherever you're at today, remember, first and foremost, you're God's kid. He loves you, and he made you for incredible, incredible purpose. So remember who you are today. And like I said, just take that first small step and just see what God does in your life. Father, I thank you so much for our time together today. I thank you that you've given us so much. First and foremost, you have given us life through your son, Jesus. Forgiveness, salvation through him. And God, if we could just remember that much, God, we can become the heroes in our own story all over again, because if we just remember who we are, it's inevitable that we're going to start doing the things that we were created to do. God, I pray that we would remember. I pray that we would grab hold of our identity and that we'd step forward boldly as we go out these doors, as this church continues to minister and love on this community. I pray that we would move forward boldly, remembering our identity in you. Thank you, Jesus. Continue to remind us each and every day how much you love us and who we are. And I just pray a special blessing over this church. God, that your peace and grace would reside here, and that your purpose would be upon these people. You have put this church and this community for a special purpose. And God, I'm so excited that I see them moving forward in that purpose. But God, there's so much more you're wanting to do. And I pray that they would discover exactly what that is. God, just bless these people. Bring them your peace. Bring them your favor. And may your peace, yes, and grace be upon them. We pray this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.